Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Maybe we could keep our memory verse sheet out. Okay? No more test.
Amen.
But we like to refer to the Word, and this is a good source right here on this page.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for this college training.
Amen.
To me, this training has been so rich.
Amen.
And one reason why it's been so rich is because so many have participated.
Yes.
Right? Don't you enjoy every single brother who's been sharing? Wow. Another facet of the diamond. Right? Another, like Tom said last night, hard to describe. What is it? Another one of the riches.
Amen.
Right, the Lord likes to flow out the multifarious wisdom of God.
Amen.
Flow out the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
Well, this training, again, is on this wonderful topic in the book of Ephesians. How about we all read it or declare it? If you got it memorized, should have it memorized by now. Okay, let's go.
The revelation of the mystery.
The what?
The revelation.
Amen. So these few words really describe the book of Ephesians, right? Something we saw in the verses has been hidden throughout many generations. It was not made known to the sons of men, but now it has been revealed.
Amen.
And it was revealed to the holy apostles and prophets in spirit.
Amen.
So it's a very great thing. I'm so thankful that I don't live in one of those previous generations.
Amen.
When the mystery was not made known. But we're in a time when the mystery has been made known.
Amen.
It's been unveiled.
Amen.
But still, today, so many are still veiled and don't know this mystery. So it's a great thing to come together for a week and really pray and open to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might see. Right? This is what Paul prayed. He prayed that all of our eyes would be enlightened. Right? That we might see what the economy of the mystery is. So this is taking place in a very normal way. You know, if you look at, it's not on this sheet, not on the verse sheet, but Paul said, the mystery was made known to me. That's true. The mystery was made known to the Apostle Paul. Then Paul said something I think is very amazing. On one hand, you know, he prayed that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. On the other hand, he said, you know how you can enter into this mystery and see the same thing he saw? It's very simple. He said, by which in reading it, you also can perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ.
Amen.
So what are we doing here this week? We're reading it.
Amen.
We're speaking it.
Amen.
We're memorizing it.
Amen.
We're fellowshipping about it.
Amen.
And it's very normal, a very normal way, but something very divine is taking place. The veils are being removed.
Amen.
And we're entering in to see what is the revelation of this mystery.
Amen.
Okay, so if you look on your verse sheet, just a little quick review. If you recall, the very first night, what chapter did we review? Chapter 1. Okay? Chapter 1, look at verse 9 and 10. If you got it memorized, why don't you just recite it?
Making known to us the mystery of His will,
according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, unto the economy of the fullness of the times, they head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him. Okay, so the first night we saw that God, this mystery is involved with an economy. And God's economy is his arrangement, his plan to dispense himself into all his believers, to minister all that is in him and all his riches into us in a very sweet way. And the result of that is something gets headed up. There's a heading up. And I think we were all touched the first night. We all need to be headed up. The church is the first that needs to be headed up. If the church is headed up, then the Lord can head up all things. Okay. Then chapter 2, if you recall, Tuesday night, I think, or Wednesday night, we got into chapter 2. Let's read verse 10, or recite it, if you know it. Ready? Go.
For we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand in order that we would walk in them.
Okay. Share with us that the Lord is after a masterpiece. There's other masterpieces in the world, but nothing can compare to this masterpiece. Right? God is imparting his own life and nature into man and bringing fallen man out of death and out of division and out of darkness and building man together into a one new man.
Amen.
And through this one new man, he's being expressed and represented on the earth.
Amen.
It's a very great thing. This is the masterpiece of God. Okay, then chapter 3, last night. It's hard to pick a verse. Which one? They're all so rich. And I think that was the point last night. Is the Lord wants to impart himself in all his riches.
Amen.
Into all of us. So first, he needs to strengthen us. So let's all declare 16, and then 17, he makes his home in us. And the result of that is verse 18, we're full of strength to apprehend with all the saints.
Amen.
Okay, so how about 16, 17, and 18? Can you recite them?
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are.
Okay, you want to keep going? 19, 20, 21. Go.
And to know the knowledge surpassing
love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. But to him who is able to do super abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that operates in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all the generations forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Now tonight we come to chapter 4. Okay. Chapter 4 is very wonderful, but there's a little change. You could say chapters 1 through 3 really give us a vision. Right? Really impart something. If you looked at the beginning of chapter 1, even on the sheet, Paul starts out saying that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So in these first few chapters, you really see the blessing that is upon the church. And what is God's view? What is God's economy? What is God's eternal purpose according to his good pleasure? This is surely the church.
Amen.
Okay, but in chapter 4, those are chapters 1 through 3. But in chapter 4, 5, and 6, you can say there's two parts of the book of Ephesians. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 starts to get a little more practical. Paul says we need something to match this vision And that is, we need a certain kind of living. And we also need a certain kind of responsibility. Okay, so there's three words that Brother Watchman Nee used to describe the book of Ephesians. One is the word sit. First, you need to sit. Okay? Sit, S-I-T, sit down. Okay? What is that? Why does he use that word? Because as a believer, the first thing you need to do is just receive grace.
Amen.
Just receive the supply. Just receive the divine dispensing.
Amen.
So there's verses like in chapter 2, it's not out of works in righteousness which we did, right? But it's according to his mercy. He saved us, right? We didn't do anything. We were dead in our offenses and our sins, right? But God's mercy came to us. He made us alive. And he seated us in the heavenlies with Christ. So our first position is just to sit and receive. So we should be the enjoyers. God's economy is to dispense. Our job, our responsibility is just receive. Be an open vessel, receive. So we sit. But then, after we learn to sit and enjoy, we have to start to walk.
Amen.
So, I'm sure you all have observed little babies. I happen to have a couple little grandchildren. And it's fun to watch them when they're first babies. What do? They don't do much. They just sit and eat. Okay? But eventually, you hope, not too long, they're going to get up and start walking. Okay? They're going to walk. And you can't put too much upon them. But as they grow in life, eventually, they start to bear some responsibility. Okay? Even if it's initial picking up your toys. Okay, so we need to sit first and enjoy. Then we need to begin to walk as a believer in a certain way and learn to bear some responsibility. So this is what we're going to talk about tonight. Are you walking? Are you bearing any responsibility in the church? Might be a little different than you think. We're not asking you, are you ready to give one of the messages here? Or are you ready to lead the church in some way? No. But you should be bearing some responsibility. And you should have some walk that is worthy of the Lord. If you're really sitting and enjoying and receiving, out of that should come a supply that enables you to walk. Right? It's normal to walk. Okay, then what? Eventually, there's another word. So you have sit. Walk, and eventually you have another word, stand. Okay, Watchman Nee said, you could look at the whole book of Ephesians, sit, walk, stand. Okay, so we've had a couple chapters on enjoying, receiving, enjoying the God's economy, enjoying his dispensing, seated with Christ in the heavenlies.
Amen.
Now tonight we're going to talk about walking with Christ.
Amen.
Bearing some responsibility.
Amen.
Working together with the Lord. Doing a work of ministry, okay, might be a little bit different than you think. You might think some older brothers have ministry, but not me. Actually, that's not true. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says all the members can do the work of ministry.
Amen.
So this is what we're going to talk about tonight. Not just are you sitting, but are you walking? Are you working? Are you serving? Are you building? Okay? And then eventually, in a couple more messages, we're going to be talking about are you standing? Standing is involved with fighting, wrestling. Because we know that even though this revelation of the mystery is wonderful in God's eyes, is according to his heart's delight, his heart's desire. We know that God has an enemy, and he is not so happy to see this heart's desire being worked out. So there's a battle going on. And we'll hear more about this maybe tomorrow night or Saturday morning. Okay, so what should we do? We have to learn how to fight. Okay, and this may also surprise you. Fighting is not against flesh and blood. Fighting is not just doing something so crazy. Fighting is like if you're wrestling. Most important thing is your stand. Is your stand strong? Are you stable? Are you strong? Can you stand? Okay? So anyway, we'll get into that later. So what are the three words in the book of Ephesians? Describe the whole book of Ephesians. Okay. All right, so let's come to our outline tonight. Let's read the title for message number 4. Y'all got it? Message number 4? Let's read it together.
The functioning of the gifts for the building up of the body of Christ.
Okay, sisters.
The functioning of the gifts for the building up of the body of Christ.
Brothers.
The functioning of the gifts for the building up of the body of Christ.
Okay, may we come back to our verse sheet. And let's start with verse 7. How about we all read verse 7 together?
But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
Okay. Maybe we could draw a little picture here real quick. Let's say this is a this is a cup. Okay? This is a big cup. This is a little cup. Okay. This big cup has a big measure. This little cup has a little measure. But guess what? They both can function.
Amen.
Okay? Which one can hold more? This one. This one can hold less, but they both can hold the same thing. Okay? So sometimes in the morning, I need a big cup of coffee. Sometimes I've had enough. I just need a little cup. Okay? But it's still all coffee. It's just different portions. So this verse here says, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay? The Bible says we're all cups. We're all vessels to contain Christ. We all need to be filled. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Okay? But the fact is, we do not all have the same measure. What does that mean? It means there's differences. Okay? Let's have Andrew Better come up here, please. Okay, Andrew, I've known Andrew for a while. Andrew is a big cup. I am a little cup. But guess what? We both have life flowing in us.
Yeah.
We're both human beings. He has a bigger measure than me. Okay? He needs a lot more. I don't know. I never studied this, but I would imagine you need a little more blood circulating through you than I do. Okay? Anyway, I think he eats a little more than I do. Okay? Okay. So, we all have a different measure. Okay, thanks, Andrew. Okay, spiritually speaking, wow, seems some have a very large measure and some have a smaller measure. Is Andrew better than me because he's got a bigger measure? No. He's just got a bigger measure, that's all. I got a smaller measure. Okay, so It's not the point where we compare with one another or compete with one another. But the Bible says we all have a different measure. But the fact is, grace was given Amen. To everyone Amen. According to your measure. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Okay, so actually, everyone is a gift of Christ. Okay, everyone, every believer has received grace. It's by grace we have been saved. Do you have grace? Raise your hand if you have grace. Okay, most of us actually, we don't know what our measure is. We don't know if I got a big measure, a small measure, or what. We shouldn't worry about that. We should just worry about, am I enjoying grace? Amen. Just be filled with grace. Okay. Now, maybe we could have a few brothers come up here for a second. I have a few brothers in mind. Okay. Let's have Jefferson and Z. Is Z here? And Roman, and Tim Blue. Okay, so maybe Jefferson, you could stand here. And Z. Z right here. And Roman right next to him. And Tim right here on the end. Okay, now let's look at verse. How about we all read verse 11? 4:11. Let's read it together. Ready? Or recite it. Go.
And he himself gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers.
Okay. Now, actually in chapter 4, something very interesting is described in Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, everybody got your Bible? Maybe we'll do like we did last night. Who's got your Bible here? So Paul said, if you want to see the revelation, perceive to have the same understanding that he does, it's by reading it.
Amen.
Okay, so let's read it. Okay, chapter 4, we just saw verse 7, to each one of us, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, therefore, you look at verse 8. Therefore, the scriptures say, having ascended to the height, he led captive those taken captive and gave gifts to men. Okay, that's not the easiest verse to understand. So we need, first of all, we need Andrew Vedder to come back up here. Okay, so we'll ask the brothers, just remember your order here. Okay, Andrew, sorry, you are the devil. And what did the devil do? He injected man. God created man according to his image. He desired man would be filled with him, would express him, would represent him. But before man partook of him as the tree of life, man got injected with something contrary to God, even with the satanic nature of God. And Ephesians chapter 4, it uses the words, they were taken captive. So, I don't know how he does it, but Andrew takes you all, maybe over there a little bit, take them all captive. Okay, now we need Jesse. Where's Brother Jesse? All right.
Amen.
Jesse, you have a little better position. Yeah. Not in reality, but you, for our demonstration, you are representing the ascended head.
Amen.
Okay, so what happened here? Says he led captive those taken captive. So what did the Lord do when he came? God has an eternal purpose. And like we shared night after night here, even though there were obstacles, this could not deter. God's will is an eternal will.
Amen.
His purpose is an eternal purpose.
Amen.
So he could not be deterred. He would carry out his will.
Amen.
So we know that the Lord came through incarnation. He lived a human life on the earth. He died on the cross for our sins. And he crucified the old man. He abolished in his flesh all the ordinances, all the things of the old man, the old creation. And another thing he did, we might not know this, but he went over and those who were led captive, carried away, he released them. First, he dealt with the enemy.
Amen.
And then he led captive.
Amen.
Okay. So are you back in the right order?
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay, so what did the Son do? He led captive those taken captive. Okay, Andrew, you can go back. You're finished. Let's all declare, Christ is victor.
Christ is victor.
He defeated the enemy.
He defeated the enemy.
He released us from our captivity.
He released us from our captivity.
He led captive.
He led captive.
Those taken captive.
Those taken captive.
Okay, but the verse doesn't stop there. It says, He got these ones back. He released them out of death. Okay? And of course we know in the Bible, talks about when the Lord raised from the dead, the first thing he did was he breathed into his disciples.
Amen.
Right? The breath of life. And they all got regenerated. They got born again. They received a new life. Not only they became new, but they became parts of the one new man.
Amen.
Okay, then what? The Bible says in the same verse, the ascended head, now, he not only released them, saved them, forgave them, redeemed them, raised them up, gave life to them, did so many wonderful things,
amen.
But he did something even more than we could ask or think. What did he do? He gave these ones as gifts to men. Okay, so it's a very great thing. All right, let's skip on down to verse 11. Let's all declare. You all remember verse 11? Ready to go.
And he himself is some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers.
Okay, so there's four categories. He gave some as what?
Apostles.
And he gave some as
prophets.
And he gave some as
evangelists.
And he gave some as
shepherds and teachers.
Okay, the last one is kind of a dual function. Why? Because if you're really shepherding someone, how do you shepherd them? You shepherd them by teaching them. How are you a teacher? How do you teach someone? Not just putting on them a bunch of doctrines. You teach them by shepherding. So this one is a shepherd teacher or a teacher shepherd. Okay. It's a wonderful thing. So we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherd teachers. Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesse. Okay, but brothers, maybe you can stay here for a minute. Okay, you have to ask, first of all, what are these people? Okay, if you were given a gift, I don't know if you've ever been given a gift like this. Sometimes my relatives may maybe give me a gift, and I open it up, And I try to give a good response, but sometimes it's like, what is it? Okay, so the Bible says we were given gifts, but most people have no idea. What is an apostle? What is it? And what does he do? Okay, and why do I need him? Okay, and what is a prophet? Do we still have prophets today? Are they the same as the kind in the Old Testament? What is a prophet? And it's a little easier, I think we all understand. What is an evangelist? Okay, and what is a shepherd teacher? All right, so there were some in the Bible who maybe had these kind of functions. We know the Apostle Paul was definitely an apostle. Right? That's pretty clear. Prophets in the New Testament. It's hard to say who was really a prophet, but actually, maybe they all were. Okay, we'll get into definitions here in a minute. But we could say someone like maybe Matthew spoke forth something of Christ, right? Then the evangelist, we know probably the most notable evangelist in the New Testament. Who do you think? Philip was called Philip the evangelist. That's a pretty good option. But Peter is probably the most notable. Peter opened the door. Amen. For so many people, both the Jews and the Gentiles. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the gospel and thousands were saved. Amen. He opened the door to all the Jews. Amen. To be added to the church. Amen. And then a little later, he went to the house of Cornelius, which was a Gentile, and he opened the door for the Gentiles to come into the body of Christ. Amen. So Peter was very great. Okay, then who is a good shepherd in the New Testament? Who would you guess? Jesus is another very good option. Jesus is called the chief shepherd of the sheep. He's the good shepherd. Okay, but as far as one of the gifts that he gave to the church, probably a very notable one in the New Testament, is the Apostle John. Okay, do you know that the Apostle John, he started out as the youngest disciple of the Lord, and he maybe ended up as being one of the oldest, if not the oldest, one who was with the who remained after the Lord was resurrected. John the Apostle, what did he do? He shepherded the believers. How did he do that? He taught them the truth. He helped them to know the Lord, to know the truth. He was such a great shepherd and teacher in the New Testament. Okay, so we have Paul, maybe Matthew, you could say Jude, other ones. You know, I'm not sure about the prophet. Okay, Peter and John. Okay, these are just examples. There's more. Okay, so what do they do? What did they do? Why were they given? Verse 12. Okay? Let's all declare that one.
For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ.
Okay. Basically, if you consider what do the apostles do? These are gifts given to the church. We should know what they are. What is an apostle? Okay, an apostle like Paul. Paul said, the revelation was made known to me. So what's an apostle? An apostle is one who receives revelation. Okay, then what else does he do? He goes around, preaches the high gospel. Everywhere. In my home meeting this last year, we took 28 weeks, 28 Friday nights, And every Friday night, we read one chapter of the book of Acts and had really rich fellowship. I never did that before in the book of Acts. But wow, what a story. First, you see in the beginning of the book, Peter and all the things he did. Okay? Mainly. Then later on, you see Paul. And what did he do? He went around city after city, village after village, preaching the gospel. Right? And what for? Also, he established churches in every city. Okay, and I think what was mentioned here earlier was when Paul would go to a place and preach the gospel and raise up a group of believers, and they began to meet in that city, who were they? They were just the church. That's who they were. That's what the Bible called them. They were the assembly. They were the body of Christ. They were the testimony, the Lord's expression. Amen. How were they known? They were known geographically, just where they lived. Right? So if you lived in Philippi, you were the church in Philippi. If you lived in Corinth, you weren't in the same city they were. You were different, not because you had different teaching or different following. You just lived in a different place. So you were called the church in Corinth. Right? And in every city, the apostle went. He raised up believers by preaching the gospel and establishing churches. And then when things would become confused or there was any challenge to the truth, the apostles defined the truth, made things clear. This is the truth. This is false. This is the truth. That's error. That's heresy. Okay, who did that? The apostles. They were gifts. They were great gifts. They had a very large measure and a lot of grace. So Paul testified, I labor, maybe more than others. He said, yet not I, but the grace. Paul had a lot of grace. He had a very great measure, very great capacity, very great ability. And a very great learning, but he needed a very great large amount of grace. Amen. To supply him, strengthen him to do the work that the Lord called him to do. Okay, how about prophets? What are they? I think some of us don't know. What is a prophet? If you read the Old Testament, you can find prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and others. Okay, in the Old Testament, sometimes they told about things that were going to take place. In fact, that's a very great thing. Isaiah has so many prophecies concerning where Jesus would be born, how he would be born of a virgin, even what city he would be born in, how he would die, how he would, like brothers brought out last night, how he would be rejected by men. He would be called the man of sorrows. Okay, how did Isaiah know all those things? He prophesied. He foretold. But in the New Testament, it's a little different. Prophets in the New Testament are not mainly foretelling something that's going to come in the future. Mainly, what do? They speak for the Lord. Amen. And they speak forth Christ. Amen. Like we did this afternoon. In all the little gatherings and all the meetings, what are we doing? We're not just trying to be make sure we do it all right and say the right words. No, we like to speak the Lord to one another. Amen. We like to speak forth Christ. We like to be like a waiter, have some Christ, right? We like to minister Christ to one another. This involves speaking, the speaking of the prophets. Amen. So this was what the prophet was. Then an evangelist, I think we heard from Roman this morning, right? What does an evangelist do? He goes out and preaches the gospel. Amen. He preaches the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. Okay? But one thing, an evangelist needs to know what he's talking about. Right? He needs to have the riches of Christ. He needs to be full of the riches of Christ. He needs to know what is redemption? What does it mean to be forgiven of your sins? What does it mean to be justified, to be accepted by God? Amen. Right? All these great things. What does it mean to be reconciled? Right? To be brought to the Lord in a full way. Anyway, evangelist. And they need to have a spirit of the gospel. A burden. Like Jefferson shared this morning. That God so loved the world. Amen. His burden is toward man. He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. So, evangelists, they know this is the Lord's burden. And they know that God desires all men to be saved. Amen. And that God is not willing that any would perish. Amen. So, evangelists, sometime you read throughout church history, some evangelists, sometimes we're just beside themselves to go with a burden. We've got to go preach the gospel. We have to go take the gospel. Like we shared this morning, we owe people the gospel. Amen. We shouldn't just be, oh, I'm enjoying the riches. Every day I enjoy the riches. Those pagans are all dying and who cares? Right? No, we should have a feeling about those around us, about our family members, about our classmates, right? How about the perishing? We sing the song, rescue, rescue the perishing, right? So we should have some feeling. This is not just our feeling. This is the desire of our Savior God. Amen. So if you read the stories in the New Testament, you have ones like Peter. They just went, preached the gospel in season, out of season. Paul told, who was it, Timothy, to do the work of an evangelist. I don't know if Timothy was so gifted as an evangelist, but Paul told him, just do it. Do the work of an evangelist. Amen. Go preach the gospel. So, anyway, we could look at so many verses in the New Testament. Tell us, like the brother shared this morning, come to the Lord. Enjoy him. Be filled with him. Let him fill your cup with grace and be saved and be in the enjoyment, be in the supply. But then what? We need to overflow. We need to be channels of blessing to allow the Lord to flow out to others. Okay, then what? Well, if we get people saved, if we get people who receive Christ, who pray and get born again, what should we do with them? Right? We should take care of them.
Amen.
You know, when I was a freshman in college, some brothers were seniors in college, and they shared the gospel with me in my dormitory. And I got saved. Okay, I got saved through their speaking. Actually, they knew how to use the Bible. And how to point out verses to me and show me how to be saved. They showed me. And through their help, I got saved. Okay, then what? You know what they used to do? They would come down to my room in the mornings and have a little prayer with me in my room before school started. Okay, that was very cherishing and very nourishing. And then once or twice a week, they would come to my room and bring a Bible and gave me a Bible. I never had a Bible before. And they gave me a Bible. And they started helping me learn some verses in the Bible. Okay, what was that? They were teaching me in a shepherding way. They were shepherding me and teaching me. So when ones get saved, what should we do? We shouldn't ignore them. We should just not, which we're guilty of sometimes. We go out and we get a whole list of names, just a whole slew of names. And then we bring the sheet back and throw it on the desk somewhere and we lose it. Then what about the people who got saved or prayed with us? What happened? Sometimes they're not cared for. So we would think today, if a mother would have a little baby and just leave it somewhere, you say that's almost like a crime. Okay? So we should mother our new ones, nourish them, cherish them. So we need lots of shepherds and teachers. Okay, so these gifts have been given to the church. This is what they are. This is who they are. These are the meaning of these gifts. Okay, but let's read verse 12 again. What does it say?
For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ.
Okay, so let's have these four brothers right here. Could you come up? Okay, maybe you could stand right and face these four brothers. Okay, the Bible says, what were these gifts given for? These are great gifts, and they have a great portion of Christ, and they have a lot of grace, and they have a great function, and they know how to shepherd and how to teach and how to evangelize and how to really speak for the Lord, and they know how to make the truth clear and to go around and establish churches. These gifts know all these things. They've been equipped. They've been supplied. They've been gifted by God with these gifts. Okay, so we might think, if he's really going to function, what should he do? He should go somewhere and just shepherd people all the time, just shepherd people. And he should just keep evangelizing all everywhere. And he should keep speaking for the Lord all the time. Just keep speaking for the Lord all the time. And he should just keep going around raising up churches and preaching the gospel and defining the truth and receiving more revelation. Okay. Those are all great, great things. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says these gifts were given for a reason. The reason they were given is so that they could perfect others. Okay? So, let's say these are a new group of brothers. Okay? Maybe they don't have quite the same as large a cup. Maybe they do. You don't know. Okay? But they got grace, and they're enjoying grace. So what happens? Paul takes Timothy, you read the Bible, Paul took Timothy with him everywhere. Why? Just because he needs somebody to carry his bag? No. Paul took Timothy so that Timothy could learn everything that was in Paul, could get into him. Okay? And he could be constituted in the same way. He would learn how to preach the high gospel. He would learn to have the same revelation. He probably would have a lot of fellowship with Paul and see how Paul preached the gospel, how Paul raised up believers, how Paul raised up churches. He could watch, he could observe, and then he would start doing it with him. And pretty soon, he could do the same thing that Paul did. Okay, and how about this one? Okay, if he hung around with the prophet, okay, he might start asking him, where'd you get that? How do you know that's from the Lord? Where do you get those verses? How can I learn? How can I receive? How can I be filled with the Spirit? How can I speak forth Christ? Okay? Something starts to transfer into him and he becomes the same. Then what? Peter. He takes this one with him. Maybe his name is Silas. Who hung around with Peter?
Mark,
of course. Okay, Mark was younger. Okay, Mark learned from Peter, traveled with him, went to preach the gospel with him, did everything. You couldn't help but pick up Peter's burden. Peter would say, let's pray for the lost. Let's pray for the unbelievers. Let's go to another place and share the gospel. Pretty soon, Mark, maybe in the beginning, he thought, wow. But eventually, he got infused. Amen. He probably got the same burden as Peter did. Okay? Then how about John, the Apostle John? What was he supposed to do? Just get old? and write books? No. He did write some epistles, but I think also he perfected. If he did what the Bible says, these gifts were given to perfect others so that eventually he would become just like John. He'd have the same burden. Say, wow. John would say, my little children, guard yourself from idols. Mark would listen, think, wow. Yeah, we should guard ourselves from idols. Maybe he had to deal with the Lord first. But then his message probably became the same as John's. Everywhere he went. Start talking about the fellowship with the triune God, the anointing, the forgiveness of sins, all the riches that are in John's epistles got into him. Okay? And what happened? He carried on. Okay? So there's a propagation that takes place. A reproduction. So when we come to chapter 4, it's not only just enjoy, enjoy, just be filled, be received, sit and enjoy grace. Well, okay, you got to grow. You need to enjoy. You need to receive. But eventually, you need to walk. You need to rise up. You need to begin to function. So you need to be perfected. Okay, so what is perfecting? In verse 12, it says these gifts were given for the perfecting. What does that perfecting mean? It doesn't mean Paul is perfect and he's going to make Timothy perfect. No, that's not what it means. Perfected means he is going to supply Timothy to the uttermost. He's going to just pour all his riches into Timothy. And he's also going to equip him. Timothy, you got to know the truth. If you read the books of Timothy, Paul, what Paul wrote to Timothy, Paul was on his case all the time. Timothy, attend to reading, right? Don't depart from these things. Stay in these things. Remain in these things. Follow closely the healthy teaching. He just pouring into him. Make sure he had the same revelation, the same healthy teaching. He's equipping him, supplying him, equipping him, right? Furnishing him. And maybe showing him, no, don't treat people like that when we preach the gospel. You got to say it like this, right? He's helping him learn some skills to preach the gospel, how to be with people. If you read Timothy, Paul taught Timothy, you got to treat older sisters like mothers. You've got to treat younger sisters in all purity. Okay? You got to treat older brothers like fathers. And treat your fellow brothers in a respectable manner. I can't remember exactly. But you look in Timothy. What is that? He's furnishing. He's equipping him. He's training him to have the same riches and experience and revelation and teaching and skill and everything. That's the perfecting. And all the others are doing the same thing. So what is perfecting? Perfecting is supplying. Perfecting is equipping. Perfecting is furnishing. Okay? Why? Guess what? The Bible says. Let's read verse 12 again.
For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ.
Okay, you know what the Bible says? In the book of Matthew, the Lord made a prophecy, a very great prophecy in the book of Matthew. It's probably, brothers have called this the greatest prophecy in the whole Bible. Do you know what it is? What is it?
I will build my church.
Okay, the Lord prophesied, I will build my church. Okay, but you have to know, you have to read the Bible and find out how he is going to do this. Okay, you find out the Lord promised he would do this. He will do this. Amen. He is doing this. Amen. But he's doing it in a very particular way. Okay? He gave gifts. First of all, he rescued them. Right? He released them. He brought them to himself, raised them up, made them who they are, gave them grace. Then he gave them as gifts to the church. So, are they the builders? Are these gifts the builders? You'd have to say yes. Christ is building his church. These gifts are building the church. But actually, in this verse here, what does it say? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry. So, Paul perfects Timothy. Why? Why is he wasting his time? You might think, oh, he's wasted time. Timothy's so much younger, he doesn't have the same capacity as you do, Paul. Why are you pouring everything you have into him? Okay, because Paul knew. He's perfecting him. There's going to be a result. What's the result? It says, unto, that's a result. Unto the work. Who's going to do the work? Timothy. Amen. Unto the work of the ministry. Who's got the ministry now? Timothy. Okay? Timothy is going to do the work of the ministry. Amen. What is he going to do? He's going to go around and preach the high gospel. He's going to go around and teach the believers. He's going to go around and raise up the churches. Okay? And he'll do the same thing that Paul did. Okay, so who's doing the work? Paul is, the Lord is, Paul is, Timothy is. They're all doing it. The Lord is doing it invisibly, indirectly. Even Paul is doing it somewhat indirectly. He's doing it by giving it to others, perfecting others. Then all the saints can do the work of the ministry.
Amen.
So you should think about it. How about it? Are you doing your work? Right? If you got children in your home, maybe when they're young, maybe one of the parents might come home and say, hey, to your little children, you didn't do your work. You didn't pick up your stuff at the end of the day. Okay? You got to do your work. Okay, of course, we know later on, you get more educated, you get more trained, you get more equipped, you learn more, you get more supply, you get more growth, you get more capacity, you get more skills. Later on, your dad comes home and he says, hey, did you do your calculus? Okay, did you do your work? Did you do your homework? Okay, and eventually, maybe, your father doesn't have to ask you anymore. Your son tells you, sorry, I got to go to work. Right? Eventually, ones begin to bear responsibility. Okay, so why are we growing in life? Why are we enjoying the riches of Christ? We need to grow up.
Amen.
Grow up into Him in all things.
Amen.
I think we should tell each other, tell the brother or sister next to you, brother, grow up.
Grow up.
Okay, what happens when you grow up? Okay, recently, I was with my family, and I have one little niece. She's handicapped. She's growing, but she's not functioning. She's handicapped. Okay, so it's not easy to see when someone begins to grow in life, but not function according to their growth. Normally you would say they must have some handicap. Okay? How about spiritually? Are you growing in life? Are you growing in life?
Amen.
Okay, then you have to ask, is your function according to your growth? Your functioning should match your growth. Okay. So, we need to grow in life. And we need to function. We need to begin to function. Okay, so we're going to talk about a little bit, what is our function? We have to do, basically, we need to be perfected first. So yes, we need to grow in life. We need lots of divine dispensing according to God's economy. We need to receive the riches. And like was shared last night, we need Christ making his home in all our heart. We need to be filled with all the riches of Christ. We need to become the fullness of the one who fills all in all. But eventually, you should also begin to bear some responsibility. You should begin to function. You should begin to speak for the Lord. You should begin to preach the gospel. Begin to shepherd others. Begin to care about the churches being raised up. At least pray for them. And sometimes you can go with brothers who are doing this kind of work. Okay, we can join in. So, okay, thank you all your brothers, thank you. Okay, so I think we better read the outline quick. Okay, let's all read Roman numeral 1 together.
Ephesians 4 reveals that God is one body, one spirit, one Lord, and one God and Father are being mingled together as one. We all are being perfected to do our work, to build up the body of Christ.
Okay, so first we need to be mingled.
Amen.
We need to be filled and saturated with the triune God.
Amen.
We need to be mingled with him every day. And then we'll become one with him. And while we're being mingled, actually it's not I get all the divine dispensing and then I stop that and now I go get perfected to work. No. We get mingled all the time, still keep receiving, enjoying, being filled, being supplied, enjoying grace. But while we're doing that, we should also be perfected. Be supplied, be furnished, be equipped. To do what? It says right here in the outline, to do our work. So you should ask yourself, are you doing your work? Right? If you go to school, you have to do your work. If you're in the church, on one hand, the other night we said, no, we can't do anything. It's the Lord's masterpiece. We just are being worked upon. We're just receiving and enjoying. That's true. On the other hand, what are we doing? We're working.
Amen.
We're building. Okay, you say, sounds like the opposite to me. It is. It's wonderful mystery.
Amen.
Okay, so what should we do? We should not work. We should just rest and enjoy and sit and feast and be supplied. Okay, on the other hand, we should not just rest and feast and enjoy and be supplied. We should work. We should preach the gospel. We should function in the meetings. We should go shepherd our friends. Okay, we should do the work. Okay, what is the work? What is our work? Our work is to build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
We have one work. Okay, you might think, I'm in the campus club. Our work is to build up the campus club. Well, you are working in the campus club for only one reason. The campus club is to build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
Right? We work with the young people. There's different language group works. Right? There's different age groups. What are all these works for? There's only one work. We're all working to build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, sisters, read A.
Father is embodied in the Son. The Son is realized as the Spirit, and the Spirit is mingled with the believers. This mingling is the intrinsic constitution of the body of Christ.
Okay, we know why is God triune? God is triune for his dispensing. Right? The Father is embodied in the Son. The Son's realized as the Spirit. The Spirit is poured out for our enjoyment, that we might be mingled with him. And when that happens, we get an intrinsic constitution. We're not working like Tom shared the other night, just trying to follow some outward thing to have the best children's work or something like that. No, we are being filled with Christ.
Amen.
that we might minister Christ. That's our work. Okay, brothers B.
In the beginning of the process of the consummated shining God with his chosen people in their humanity is also the genuine oneness of the body of Christ.
Sister C.
Oneness in reality must become the oneness in practicality by the process of our being perfected, growing in life, holding to truth, and being joined and knit together.
Okay, we all have oneness. We have one body and one spirit. This is oneness in reality. But there needs to be an expression where there's a oneness in practicality, where there's a testimony. So you go to the city of Philippi and you actually see believers as the one new man who don't care what their culture is, what their background, what their nationality, what race. No, they just care. They're focused on Christ. They're enjoying the new one. But there's a practical oneness among them. There's a visible testimony. Okay, we don't want just a oneness in spirituality or in reality where you just shake hands, we're one in the spirit, and then Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, you go to your race, I'll go to mine. You go to your nationality, and he'll go to his. Okay, what is that? That's division. Okay, we want to be in the one new man.
Amen.
Have the oneness in practicality. How do we do this? We need to be perfected. We need to grow in life. Amen. We need to hold to the truth. We need to hold to all the wonderful truths. Okay? And we need to be joined and knit together. Okay, how about Sisters D?
This process issues in the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. The built up body of Christ is the goal to which we all have to attain. And this is the destination at which we all have to arrive.
Okay, I would circle the word goal. Okay, what is the goal? The goal is the built up body of Christ. That's what the Lord is after. That's what we're after. That's what why the Lord saved us, redeemed us, called us. Right? We were called in one hope of our calling. Our goal is to build up the body of Christ. Okay, so let's all read two together. Okay, so the building up of the body of Christ, how does it take place? Is by the giving, the dispensing, right? Every cup, according to your measure, needs to receive grace. And not just once to be saved, but day by day we're receiving grace, right, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So this is a very great next point. A, let's all declare A together.
Every member of the body of Christ is an indispensable gift to the body.
Okay, do you believe it?
Amen.
The Bible says, or the outline says here, every member.
Amen.
Is an indispensable gift.
Amen.
You think about your own physical body. Okay, actually, I kind of like my members. Okay, whether they're the healthiest, the strongest, or whatever they are, they're mine. And I don't want to lose them. And I appreciate them fully. Okay, my feet are not the same as my eyes. They don't have the same function. My ears, not the same as my hands. But I need them all. And that's what Romans, or 1 Corinthians says. 1 Corinthians 12. Which one of your members are you going to dispense with? None. Every member is indispensable.
Amen.
We need all our members.
Amen.
Every brother, every sister. You say, oh, you're not a very big cup. You know, sorry, I am what I am. That's what Paul said, right? And grace was given to me. So if I'm small, deal with it. I've got grace. Okay, I can function. You've got grace. You can function. Example in the excerpt says, see this little finger here? You think, it's not that huge, not that great. Look at your leg compared to this little thing. Okay, you want to dispense with it? No, how would you do this? You need your fingers. You need all of them. How would you pick up a pen without your thumb? Okay, all right. We need all the members. So in the body of Christ, every member is a gift. Amen. Every member is indispensable. Amen. Okay, read B together.
Each gifted person has a measure, and divine grace is given, dispensed into him according to that measure.
Okay, isn't that wonderful? Every member. All right, let's read 3 together.
The building up of the body of Christ is by the gifted person's perfecting of the saints in the divine dispensing, that all the saints may be able to do the work of the New Testament ministry, that is, to build up the body of Christ.
Okay. How is the body built up? The Lord gave gifted persons, like we just demonstrated. What are they doing? They're perfecting the saints by dispensing the divine riches, by grace, by supply, but also equipping them, furnishing them. So what? So that the saints, all the saints, may be able to do the work of the New Testament ministry to build up the body of Christ. But today, this is not the normal practice everywhere. You go somewhere else Sunday morning, what do you find? You find the clergy-laity system, where one man is the only one functioning. He's the only one speaking. Do you think you're going to walk into any congregation on Sunday morning and say, excuse me, I'd like to prophesy. I'd like to share with you what I've been enjoying in the Word. Can I speak? They'd probably tell you, sit down. You're not ordained. You didn't go to seminary. Who do you think you are? You know, sit down. Okay? Recently, some brothers went preaching the gospel, knocking on doors. They ran into a pastor's house. You know what the pastor told them? He said, you know, I do this in my congregation, but I've never seen a group of people who are not clergy who do this. I thought, what a shame. This is normal.
Amen.
We are all priests of the gospel.
Amen.
We can all share Christ.
Amen.
We can all minister Christ to others.
Amen.
We don't have to take our new one to a specially trained counselor to get shepherding. No, we should shepherd them.
Amen.
We should be a nursing mother.
Amen.
We should be an exhorting father.
Amen.
So we can all function. Okay, the A says, the gifted persons perfect the saints by nourishing them according to the tree of life with the life supply for their growth in life. So these gifted ones nourish.
Amen.
Then B, the gifted persons perfect the saints, what? To do. Okay, Christians should do. Right, the Lord said, do business.
Amen.
We're told, preach the gospel.
Amen.
The Lord said, you love me, shepherd my sheep. These are all do. Okay? Do. So you should ask yourself, am I doing? Not just during the college training. When you go home, are you going to preach the gospel? Are you going to shepherd others? Right? Are you going to prophesy in the meetings? Or was that just for a testing time on Thursday during the college training? Right? It should become our normal. So we realize we need more perfecting. We need more learning. We need more supply. Okay, so the gifted persons perfect the saints to do what they do for the direct building up of the body of Christ. Okay, how about brothers read apostles?
The apostles received the revelation of God's New Testament economy, preached the high gospel, established local churches, and determined doctrine.
Okay, sisters read prophets.
The prophets are those who through the Lord's revelation speak for the Lord. Speak forth the Lord, and speak the Lord into others.
Okay, everyone who preached the gospel these last couple days, read number 3.
The evangelists preach Christ, and the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel to save desolate sinners, bringing them to Christ.
Okay, everyone. anyone who loves the Lord would like to follow the Lord's charge to shepherd the sheep and feed the sheep. Read number 4.
Shepherd, teacher, feed and nourish the young saints and teach the growing saints.
Okay, and what's the result? Number C, read it together.
The result of this perfecting is that we will all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full grown man, and at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Okay, and what else?
This perfecting will cause us to be no longer little children, tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching in the sight of men, in craftiness with the view to a satanic system of error.
Okay, number 4 says the building up of the body of Christ is by the direct building of the clergy, right?
No.
By who?
All the members.
By how many of the members?
All the members.
K.A. says, in order to be built up, we must hold to truth in love.
Amen.
Okay, when we speak in a prophesying meeting, we should speak in love.
Amen.
Right? When we shepherd in love. Growing up into the head, Christ in all things. Truth refers to the things that are true and real. The true things in this universe. And as the process trying God, His New Testament economy, the all-inclusive Christ, the organic body of Christ. These are all the wonderful truths in the Bible. Okay, sisters, read 2.
We can grow up into Christ by recognizing the right and authority of Christ as the head.
Brothers, 3.
Grow up into the head. Christ is to allow Christ to grow and increase in our inward parts.
Amen.
For us to grow up into Christ means that Christ grows in us.
Okay, the body grows and is built up by being joined together and knit together in love. So this is happening through every joint. These are the gifted persons. Every joint of the rich supply help us to be joined together. And we're knit together through the operation in the measure of each one part. We need all the parts of our body to be knit together. Then the body builds itself up in the divine love with which God and Christ loves us, and by which we love Christ and the fellow members of His body. Okay, let's read C together.
The body of Christ is built directly by all the members of Christ's functioning, each in his own measure, namely in prophesying, seeking for the Lord.
Okay, that's what we're going to do now. So let's read the focus together.
The building up of the body of Christ is by the direct building by all the members of the body, functioning in their measure, who have been perfected by the gifts to do the work of the ministry.
Okay, so tonight we're going to do something a little different. Okay, there's a difference between being perfected and being perfect. Okay, none of us are perfect. But all of us should be being perfected.
Amen.
But to be perfected is not easy. Some people say, hey, leave me alone. Don't touch me. You know, I don't want to be perfected. I don't need to be trained. I can do everything. I'll read the Bible on my own and I'll learn how to function on my own. Well, that's actually totally contrary to what we all just read. The Bible says the Lord gave gifts to perfect you.
Amen.
But if you're a member, you have to be willing to be perfected.
Amen.
So where does this perfecting take place? It takes place in the church.
Amen.
It takes place. There are gifts in the church. In fact, we just read, we are all gifts given. Okay? So we can perfect one another. But there are also larger brothers who have larger portions. Okay, and have this work of ministry to perfect the saints who have a greater portion. Okay, where is that? You can say, yes, it's in some of the churches. It should be. But it's also in the training. Okay, so tonight what we like to do is give chance to some of the ones who are currently in the full-time training. Not to hopefully they don't come up here and say how perfect they are. But they come up and say, I'm learning. I'm being supplied.
Amen.
I'm being furnished and equipped.
Yes.
I'm learning how to function.
Amen.
I'm learning how to build up the body of Christ.
Yes.
How to hold to the truths and love.
Amen.
How to be joined and knit together with others.
Yes.